Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, on September 11th, 1991.
Certain that we stand at a defining hour. Halfway around the world, we are engaged in a great struggle in the skies and on the seas and sands. We know why we're there. We are Americans, part of something larger than ourselves. For two centuries, we've done the hard work of freedom, and tonight, we lead the world in facing down a threat to decency and humanity. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future. If it is possible, I want to continue to build a lasting basis for U.S.-Soviet cooperation for a more peaceful future for all mankind. The triumph of democratic ideas in Eastern Europe and Latin America and the continuing struggle for freedom elsewhere all around the world all confirm the wisdom of our nation's founders. Tonight, we work to achieve another victory, a victory over tyranny and savage aggression.
I'm sorry about that. My name is Walt Stickel, and I'm the host at Mystery Babylon News Radio, and welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio on April 2nd, 2014. The title of this broadcast is, What is the Biblical, Historic, Prophetic Solution to the New World Order? My co-host, Tom Frest, is currently reading the book Romanism and the Reformation, an Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio, Monday through Friday. Welcome to the broadcast, Tom.
Good evening, Walt. Nice to be with you, and good evening to your listeners.
Mm-hmm. Well, tonight, Tom, because of technical difficulties at your studio, you had to redo two broadcasts, and we're going to recap the conclusion of Lecture 6. It's a real profound, arrow that Henry Grattan Guinness is putting into Romanism and the papacy. So the first clip is going to be 16 minutes, and we're going to listen to that, and then we'll have a short comment and start the other one. So here goes. I'm going to start it.
Page 256, if you're following along in the online version of this book from Toronto University, archive.org, if you haven't yet found it, near the bottom of page 256, and at the end of the broadcast yesterday, Henry Grattan Guinness launched a knockout blow to futurism, a blow full in the face of futurism, a knockout blow from which it is not likely to survive. The great delusion, futurism, this idea that Antichrist is a single man rising in the future just 7 years before Christ's return, and is not, as all the Protestant reformers and all the Bible-believing Christians before the Protestant reformers, the Huguenots, the Hussites, the Albigensians, the Waldenses, the Lollards, on and on and on, believed and taught and proclaimed from the rooftops that the papacy and only the papacy was that which is spoken of in the scriptures as the man of sin, the little horn, the beast, the Antichrist. Futurism has deluded the whole Protestant world. It has literally uprooted Protestantism. Protestantism is the belief that the papacy fulfills all those prophecies in the scripture regarding Antichrist. If we no longer believe that the papacy is the fulfillment of those prophecies, we can no longer justly call ourselves Protestant. And what a grievous error is futurism. And the consequences of futurism have not yet even been fully comprehended by even historicists in our day, what few there are. And Henry Grattan Guinness talks about these consequences. What are the consequences? When you lay the blame of Antichrist away from the papacy and put it on some future man just before Christ's return, you literally exonerate the papacy, but worse than that, you cause all the martyrs of Jesus throughout history, all those historicists who died proclaiming the Pope as Antichrist, you make them all die in vain. You make the Protestant Reformation an error. You make the Protestant reformers the assailants of the true Church of Jesus Christ, the Roman Catholic Church. You find yourself making war with heaven in defense of a human counterfeit, the papacy. Futurism produces the most dire consequences in the life of everyone who believes it. And not only subjects yourself to the judgment of Almighty God, but places all true Protestants in the world in jeopardy of the same kind of religious persecution as was levied against all the historicists of the past. All the way back to the first century church. Henry Grattan Guinness, at the bottom of, near the bottom of page 256, talks about these consequences. He says, and the consequences are most serious. For we are living in an age of revived papal activity. Not only is the papacy exerting an enormous influence in the outside world, not only has it formulated and decreed its own infallibility, not only is it attacking Protestantism in its strongholds with every weapon in its reach, political, civil, religious, but the principles and practices of the system it guides and governs have been introduced into the bosom of the Protestant Church and planted securely within its walls, and are working most disastrously for its corruption and overthrow. Do you see the intent and purpose of the Jesuit-inspired futurism? Placing the blame of Antichrist off of the papacy onto a distant, unknown, obscure, single individual at the time of near Christ's return. It's the overthrow of Protestantism. It is the corruption and overthrow of Protestantism was the entire design behind futurism. And he says, never was there a time in the church's history when she more needed the barriers which prophecy has erected for her protection. And now, when they are so sorely needed, they are not to be found. Futurism has crept into the Protestant church and broken down these sacred walls. Romanists, ritualists, and Protestant futurists are all agreed as to the non-applicability of the scripture prophecies to the Church of Rome and the papacy. The Romanists are 200 million. The ritualists are hundreds of thousands, and Protestant futurists are many thousands in number. They all deny these prophecies their place and office. They remove these barriers. What then is to keep out the incoming papal flood? The word of prophecy, in its solemn warnings of the dangers the church has to encounter, the foes it has to resist, is asserted to be silent as to this. Why then should this be feared? The reformers were mistaken. The popes were right. Charles V and Charles IX, Philip of Spain and Mary of England, the Duke of Alva and Louis XIV, and all the tribe of Innocents and Leos and Gregories and Clements and Pius IV and Pope Pius IX, all these were right in rejecting the fundamental position that papal Rome is Babylon and its head Antichrist. And all the reformers, without an exception, were wrong in maintaining it. They were foolish interpreters of the sure word of prophecy and utterly in error as to the real testimony of Scripture concerning the Church of Rome. Is this the position you adopt? Is this the conclusion you defend? Are these the views you advocate? You, a Protestant? And this after all that has been written upon the subject, and all the blaze of light which history and experience have poured upon it? If it is, look to it that you be not found fighting against the truth, warring against the Word of God, resisting the testimony of the prophetic spirit, hindering the work of the Protestant Reformation, promoting the progress of the apostasy, opposing Christ, and helping Antichrist. Even the Romanists themselves shame you in their clear-sighted comprehension of the issues of this question. Cardinal Manning says, quote, "The Catholic Church is either the masterpiece of Satan or the kingdom of the Son of God," unquote. Cardinal Newman says, quote, "A sacerdotal order is historically the essence of the Church of Rome. If not divinely appointed, it is doctrinally the essence of Antichrist," unquote. In both these statements, the issue is clear, and it is the same. Rome herself admits, openly admits, that if she is not the very kingdom of Christ, she is that of Antichrist. Rome declares she is one or the other. She herself propounds and urges this solemn alternative. You shrink from it, do you? I accept it. Conscience constrains me. History compels me. The past, the awful past, rises before me. I see the great apostasy. I see the desolation of Christendom. I see the smoking ruins. I see the reign of monsters. I see those vice gods that Gregory the VII, that Innocent the III, that Boniface the VIII, that Alexander the VI, that Gregory the XIII, that Pius the IX. I see their long succession. I hear their insufferable blasphemies. I see their abominable lives. And I see them worshipped by blinded generations, bestowing hollow benedictions, bartering lying indulgences, creating a paganized Christianity. I see their liveried slaves, their shaven priests, their celibate confessors. I see the infamous confessional, the ruined women, the murdered innocents. I hear the lying absolutions, the dying groans. I hear the cries of the victims. I hear the anathemas, the curses, the thunders of the interdicts. I see the racks, the dungeons, the stakes. I see the inhuman Inquisition, those fires of Smithfield, those butcheries of St. Bartholomew, that Spanish Armada, those unspeakable dragon aids, that endless train of wars, that dreadful multitude of massacres. I see it all. And in the name of the ruin it has wrought in the church and in the world, in the name of the truth it has denied, the temple it has defiled, the God it has blasphemed, the souls it has destroyed, in the name of the millions it has deluded, the millions it has slaughtered, the millions it has damned, the holy confessors, the noble reformers, with innumerable martyrs, with the saints of ages, I denounce it as the masterpiece of Satan, as the body and soul and essence of Antichrist. History laid out before us by one of the most eloquent voices of Protestantism in history. He saw it all. And to think, those today who call themselves Protestants, call themselves Protestants in vain. They take the name of the Lord in vain. Because they no longer seek Him. They seek peace and unity with the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist of the Bible. They take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain. You who exonerate the papacy, and place the blame of Antichrist on a figment of your imagination in the distant future, need to be on your knees praying God to open your historical eyes. And let the scriptures interpret themselves and walk away from your apostate seminarians and theologians who have sold you this futurist lie. You need to be repentant before an all-holy God. Abandon your futurist churches. Find a historicist church somewhere find a historicist pastor, or start your own house church, and see that the futurist lie never again creeps in within your midst. You cannot understand history, current events, or the future without understanding the historical school of Bible interpretation. Now the author, Henry Grattan Guinness, will turn.
Now, that was on the 24th of March. And because of a power outage at First Amendment Radio, Tom had to do this over again. We're not going to replay the whole thing, but we're going to go back into the conclusion there a little bit, and then and listen to his final comments. So I'm going to play that right now.
The anathemas, the curses, the thunders of interdicts. I see the racks, the dungeons, the stake. I see that inhuman inquisition, those fires of Smithfield, those butcheries of St. Bartholomew, that Spanish Armada, those unspeakable dragonades, that endless train of wars, that dreadful multitude of massacres. I see it all. And in the name of the ruin it has wrought in the church and in the world, in the name of the truth it has denied, the temple it has defiled, the God it has blasphemed, the souls it has destroyed, in the name of the millions it has deluded, the millions it has slaughtered, and the millions it has damned, with holy confessors, with noble reformers, with innumerable martyrs, with the saints of ages, I denounce it as the masterpiece of Satan, as the body and soul and essence of Antichrist. There you have it. Henry Grattan Guinness has just launched a knockout blow to futurism. Futurism is the orthodox teachings in the churches today. Futurism is the orthodox teaching of Kenneth Copeland. And together, with a bishop of the Anglican Church by the name of Palmer, have assembled all the tongue-speaking pastors of this country, those who are thought to have the gift of divine utterance. Together in unison, they uttered lies. They said the Protestant Reformation is over. The protest is over. They babble lies. And their lies have put this country in jeopardy. Because of their pious platitudes to the current Pope of the Roman Catholic Church, Francis I, they've been invited to the synagogue of Satan to have a sit-down dinner with the man of sin, the son of perdition, to eat directly the delicacies of the modern-day King Nebuchadnezzar. But I will be happy to take my place in prison, to eat, to have pulse and water to drink, and to take my place in a fiery furnace, which has been fired 7 times its wont to be fired, 7 times hotter. I will gladly take my place in those flames because I have a promise from the prophet of Daniel that in that fiery furnace will be found a fourth like unto the Son of the Living God. You may have your futurist ecumenical reunion of peace and unity. I'll separate myself and touch not the unclean thing. And that's what I advise all my lovely listeners to do likewise. They've renounced Christ. They've made their bed with the whore of Rome. They've come down with a spiritual venereal disease for which there is no cure but repentance and a return to historical interpretation of the Scriptures. Never was there a more eloquent Protestant pastor than Henry Grattan Guinness. If you're a futurist or a preterist, I implore you to take a serious look at historicism and remember that your futurist beliefs are the new kid on the block. Nobody even uttered the futurist rumor until about 3 generations ago. But this Protestant reformer, at the time when futurism was finally finding a little traction in the Protestant churches, denounced it in its crib. He did a magnificent job. Now the choice is ours. Do we continue believing and making lies? Do you, in Kenneth Copeland's church, all you Pentecostal charismatic pastors of the United States of America, you who are thought to have a gift of divine utterance, will you keep babbling lies? Will you keep babbling lies and saying it's the voice of God? I condemn Kenneth Copeland in the most serious terms. If he's not a Jesuit dupe, he's straight from the pit. Those are the choices. And all those who have shamed themselves into going to his church and listen to him and Anglican priest Palmer, the Pied Piper of perdition, while there's still time, get down on your face and repent. Abandon futurism. Abandon Copeland. Abandon Palmer. Abandon the Pope and return to Christ before it's too late. In the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of mankind, I implore you. We'll return right after the break. You're listening to Inquisition Update on First Amendment Radio.
Oh, excuse me, Tom. Excuse me. Excuse me. Could you just, Tom, this is a real strong message and this conclusion of this lecture 6. Could you finish up the broadcast here with a conclusion, a live conclusion of the 2 that you made already on this?
Yes. Before I read, I will remind the listeners that Henry Grattan Guinness, just before this particular reading, completely destroyed futurism. It's a Jesuit lie. It's designed to destroy Protestantism. It's designed to exonerate the papacy and to confuse Christianity and to put into question again a question that had long been settled. Who is the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist? Prior to futurism, it was unanimous. It was the papacy. Futurism puts the blame on an individual way off into the future, just before Christ returns, and puts all the emphasis on him. And in the meantime, the papacy continues in its prophetic role as Antichrist. The Roman Catholic Church continues unabated, unchallenged, and she's drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, responsible for all the wars of the world. And Protestantism is dead. Now here's what he says. Who is the Antichrist? He says, even the Romanists themselves shame you in their clear-sighted comprehension of the issues of this question. Cardinal Manning says, the Catholic Church is either the masterpiece of Satan or the kingdom of the Son of God. Cardinal Newman says, a sacerdotal order, now for those who don't know what a sacerdotal order is, it's a priestly order, and in this case, being the Roman Catholic Church, it is a sacrificing priestly order. We're talking about the Mass, okay? He said, Cardinal Newman says, a sacrificing priestly order is historically the essence of the Church of Rome. If not divinely appointed, then it is doctrinally the essence of Antichrist, unquote. Here are two of the most important Roman Catholic cardinals of history, both putting up the question, a question that was long since settled. He says, in both these statements, the issue is clear, and it is the same. Rome herself admits, openly admits, that if she's not the very kingdom of Christ, she is that of Antichrist. From the two most powerful cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church, Rome declares she's either one or the other. She herself propounds and urges this solemn alternative. That's a choice everybody has to make. Is the Roman Catholic Church the heavenly kingdom? Or is it the Church of Antichrist? You shrink from it, do you? I accept it, said Henry Grattan Guinness. Conscience constrains me. His very conscience forces him to accept Rome's assessment of herself that she is the kingdom of Antichrist. He continues, he says, history compels me. He sees all of Roman Catholic history from the turn of the 6th century all the way to the present time of the writing of this book, 1876. He says, all of history compels me. The past, the awful past, rises before me. I see the great apostasy, the falling away that Paul spoke about. I see the desolation of Christendom. I see the smoking ruins. I see the reign of monsters. He's talking about the papacy. A succession of monsters. And anyone who is aware of the history of the personal lives of the popes knows he used the term well when he described them as monsters. I see those vice gods. That Gregory the VII. That Innocent III, that Boniface VIII, that Alexander VI, that Gregory XIII, that Pope Pius IX. He says, I see their long succession. I hear their insufferable blasphemies. Vicar of Christ? Is that not blasphemy? Holy Father? Is that not blasphemy? I see their abominable lives. I see them worshipped by blinded generations, stowing hollow benedictions, bartering lying indulgences. You know what an indulgence is? Well, you give the church so much money, and they'll give you an indulgence to commit whatever sin you want. Lying indulgences. Created a paganized Christianity. I see their liveried slaves. What he's referring to here are the monasteries and the nunneries, the cloisters, the liveries of the monks and nuns of the Roman Catholic Church, all of them slaves to that church called the Synagogue of Satan. He says, I see their shaven priests. What's he talking about? The tonsures, where they shave their head just like the Babylonian priests of old. You see them in old pictures of the Roman Catholic priests, how they shaved the tops of their heads, or they shaved around the sides of their heads. God said, don't lay a razor upon the corners of your heads. Why? Because he didn't want his people to be like these pagan priests of Baal. He says, I see their celibate confessors. Forbidden to marry, a doctrine of demons. I see the infamous confessional confessing their sins to a sinful celibate priest, a sin-sick celibate priest, not allowed to marry, but women and little girls are forced to confess their most intimate sins, their most secret sins in the ear of this sex-starved priest. He says, I see the ruined women. Can you imagine being a woman having to confess her sins to a sin-sick priest? And he says, I see the murdered innocents. He's speaking of the little girls and the little boys who have to confess their most intimate sins to this pedophile. A global pedophile pandemic from the Roman Catholic priesthood. Nobody can deny it anymore. And where does it come from? Confessional of the Roman Catholic Church and celibacy. He says, I hear the lying absolutions. Do you believe that sin-sick pedophile priest can actually forgive you of your sins? He can't forgive his own sins, but he claims to be able to forgive yours. He cannot give you absolution for your sins. Only Christ can do that. There's another blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. He says, I hear the dying groans. I hear the cries of the victims. I hear the anathemas, the curses, the thunders of the interdicts. Do you know that the Pope, with a word from his mouth, can overthrow governments by interdicts? Simply close all the churches. The Roman Catholics can't get married. They can't get buried. They can't be baptized. And if they die in the meantime, that means they go straight to hell. So if you don't want to go straight to hell, if you want me to open the churches so you can return to the sacraments and eat and drink damnation to yourself at the Mass, you have to overthrow your king. History's full of it. He says, I see the racks, the dungeons, the stakes, the innumerable tortured martyrs of Jesus Christ. The Bible plainly describes them, and history makes them real. I see the inhuman Inquisition, those fires of Smithfield where the saints of Almighty God in England were destroyed, burned at the stake at Smithfield. Those butcheries of St. Bartholomew, 70,000 Protestant Huguenots were butchered in the streets and thrown into the river. 72,000 Bible-believing, God-fearing, historicist Protestants who had never been to knee to the Roman Catholic Church or the Pope came out in Paris in just a matter of weeks. And the Spanish Armada, something we've forgotten about. Spain launched an armada to overthrow the British crown, the Protestant British crown. But God, blew the winds the wrong way and confounded them. And England remained Protestant. Those unspeakable dragon aids. You know what a dragon aid is? In France, when they persecuted the Huguenots, they sent out the dragoons, government-paid agents, warriors, mercenaries, to persecute and kill the Huguenots. And while the persecutions were going on, the Huguenots had to put them up and feed them. The unspeakable dragon age and that endless train of wars. You know, the Bible talks about wars, and rumors of wars. Guess who foments the wars? The Roman Catholic Church, to conquer all lands for the Pope. That's what the wars of the world are fought over. That dreadful multitude of massacres, I see it all. In the name of the ruin it has wrought in the church and in the world, in the name of the truth it has denied, Jesus Christ, saying that the Pope is Jesus Christ in the earth, the temple it has defiled, the very temple of the Holy Spirit, is the man, the soul of a man, the heart of a man. That temple has been destroyed by the Roman Catholic Church. The God it has blasphemed, the souls it has destroyed, and in the name of the millions it has deluded, the millions it has slaughtered, the millions it has damned, with holy confessors, with noble reformers, with innumerable martyrs, with the saints of the ages, Henry Grattan Dennis says, I denounce it as the masterpiece of Satan, as the body and soul and essence of Antichrist. But you'll never hear that preached. You'll never hear the truth preached in the Protestant churches today because they no longer protest the Antichrist of Scripture and of prophecy and of history. They believe a Jesuit pipe dream of some phony futurist Antichrist that doesn't appear in the world until the world's almost over. No one need to be careful about the Antichrist in this deceived world. And by the way, while we're at it, why don't we just go back to the Roman Catholic Church, the synagogue of Satan, and worship a mere man and obey his commandments? That's your ecumenical movement. That's what futurism wrought in God's house, the ecumenical movement to reunite with the Roman Catholic Church. And oh, by the way, did Rome tell you? You're not going to just reunite with the Roman Catholic Church. All religions are going to unite with the Roman Catholic Church. Even the atheists, the Shintoists, the Luciferians, the Buddhists, all of them, even the Muslims, you're all going to be worshiping a God of different names.
We've got a minute, Tom.
The whole world is deceived. Satan has deceived the whole world, even the very elect. Return to historicism before it's too late. The papacy is, was, and always will be the Antichrist of the Bible. Repent of futurism. Restore the Protestant Reformation, or the New World Order will roll over us all like a steamroller. The New World Order is simply the Old World Order restored, and it could not have happened had there remained a Protestant stitch left in this country. Thanks, Walt.
Okay, and thank you, Tom. We have a couple seconds, so we're going to sign off, and thanks. And you can listen to Tom on Inquisition Update at First Amendment Radio 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Bye for now. Okay, you there, Tom?